We are going to continue in our study of Ruth, and we are picking up where we left off in 3:9, chapter 3, this risky, dangerous thing that Naomi has put her daughter-in-law up to, hoping that this will end in a marriage. But before we get there, I wonder if you had a good fourth. Wonder if you were able to celebrate. And I want us to think about why we do that. Why do we celebrate? Why do we do that? Well, there's some people that I love looking at unsung heroes. People like Molly Pitcher. Anybody ever heard of Molly Pitcher? Yeah? Yeah, Molly Pitcher, the one that was would go into the battle helping the men by getting water, by washing clothes, by nursing the sick and the wounded. And some of the Molly Pitchers and the other women in the Revolutionary War would actually pick up the guns and fight with the men. Why would they do that? It's because of their great conviction about what they value and what is near and dear to us. In just a minute, we're going to look at one verse, Ruth 3:9, that has a word in it, the word is Goel, that talks about, it's the one word description of the message and purpose of the entire Bible. True. But before we do, more people with great conviction. Anybody ever heard of Mary Ludwig Hayes? Anybody ever heard of her? Mary Ludwig Hayes is known, was a non-commissioned officer because General George Washington was so impressed with her that he commissioned her. The story goes that she was standing up there loading a cannon, and a cannonball was shot and went right between her legs, tearing her petticoat. And without missing a beat, she said, "Well, I'm glad it wasn't a little higher. It would have taken more off." And she kept on serving. That's a woman who understands the values and the principles and has sprung up into action. And so my question for us today is, what is your goal? And if you look at the slide up there, you will see I'm playing a little bit with the words, because the word goel sounds exactly like the Hebrew word for redemption. It's the one word that sums the entire message of the Bible up. So on our holidays, when we stop, we pause, what do? We, first of all, we remember why we're having a holiday, and we look backwards. That's what the parades are all about. That's why we sing songs sometimes. Remember being in Boulder, Colorado, in a stadium singing patriotic songs, awaiting fireworks. Why? Because we look back at the people that have paid very dearly so that we can have the values and the life that we hold so dear. Why do we celebrate? Because we remember why we are living the way we do. And as we do that, it leads us to advancing. I found out this week, I think from Pam, look at this next slide there, that I found out Pincher. I put Pincher in the sermon. Pam, weren't you the one who told me that? No? Somebody told me Pincher was in Camden, and RCA, and the motto of this Victor talking machine was, "He hears his master's voice." And I said, "Oh, that'll preach." That's redemption. It's hearing our master's voice. It's remembering what he did. And that's the first thing is reflect, RCA, reflect, celebrate what God has done, and then advance with great conviction and passion, not shrinking back. And so, little cute, but now you won't forget it, right? So Pincher has a message for you if you go to Camden. Reflect, celebrate, and advance. But most importantly, hear your master's voice that's spoken loud and clear in Scripture and softly and quietly through his Holy Spirit. So, what's your goal? First thing we look at is we look backwards and we remember, we reflect on where we have been. And guys and ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, we had to take the pens out. I was looking for one before and I went, oh yeah, it's just we are following everything to the nines because we don't want anybody to get sick. We don't want anybody to say, hey, those people are reckless. We want to be a good witness. So I'm sorry, we will have pens available. Stan has a whole box. I don't know if the ushers can bring you some. But anyway, sorry about that. But if you do want to look on your outline, you can see what it is. So the first thing, what's your goal? Reflect. Remember where you have been. Look at Ruth 2:20. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed by the Lord. Who is she talking about? Naomi is marveling that Ruth just so happened, just like I just so happened to go to the Habitat store and find a dehumidifier for $5, just so happened to wander into Boaz's field, a worthy man, a righteous man, a type of Christ. May he be blessed by the Lord. And it's the Lord she's talking about, whose kindness, everybody say chesed. That's why we're wearing masks. You say chesed without a mask, you spit, right? The Lord, whose kindness has not forsaken, not forgotten, either the living or the dead. The family line is going to go on. Naomi also said to her, the man is a close relative of ours. He is one of our redeemers. He's one of our goals, our redeemers. So Naomi is praying a blessing over Boaz because of his godly character, because of the kindness he showed, and because she has a glimmer of hope that in the midst of it all, maybe God's not done with her yet. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever thought that God is done with you? How many ever thought that? Maybe God's done with me at one point or another in your life. Just me? A couple of us? Yeah. Well, she's wondering that because is it that her lack of faith going from Bethlehem, the house of bread, God's country, to Moab, was that so bad that God's done with her? She has lost her husband and two sons. That is awful. Ruth has lost her father-in-law, her husband, and her brother-in-law. And now they're coming back into Israel. No wonder Naomi is bitter. She's wondering, could God actually restore us? The answer to that is yes. Yes. We look back at what God has done. And so Boaz being the redeemer, the goal, the one who God put a system in the family of God so that not only was it for the Israelites, it was especially for them, but also for the foreigners. We saw that in the laws regarding gleaning. So redeemers are the ones that would provide. They're the ones that would protect. Even in other parts would avenge wrongs that have been done. But if you've ever thought or wondered that you've done something so bad that God has done with you, and the fact that you're wondering it means that he's drawing you back to himself. If you don't care, you're in trouble. But if you're watching this and hearing this, God is drawing you to himself. Naomi's hoping that Boaz could be the answer to her prayer. So we know like what happens in 3 looks like she really got ahead of God. It's quite a scene. But we don't want to get ahead of God. I just want to make that clear or assume what he might be doing. But we pause and reflect and we look backward. Why do we reflect? How many have found that in the tough times, it's very hard to see where God is? Have you found that? What God, what are you doing? But then when we look backwards, we go, oh, wow, you were there all along. It may not be clear in the crisis, but then all of a sudden you start to see how God is so in charge and so caring and has a wonderful plan for our lives. But the enemy of our soul also has a message. His message is, hurry, hurry, do something quick. You got to take things, you know, you got to get things in hand because you got to do something and do it now. Don't wait. How many of you know that that's the worst thing you could possibly do in making a decision? Do you want to make a bad decision? If I were to put a formula together, I would put that as a top. Just hurry and make a decision. Bad idea. The enemy pushes the God of our soul, lover of our soul, leads. So it may be that Naomi got ahead of God in this chapter 3, but God's grace is far greater. The context is, you may remember, Naomi's plan for her daughter-in-law Ruth. Go ahead and wash up, put on perfume, the time frame, and go out in the middle of the night in the darkness with a cloak hiding your identity. It's said in dating, nothing holy happens after midnight, right? That's what happens in dating. Go to the threshing floor in the pitch dark. The threshing floor is not a good place for people to be after dark. Think Oktoberfest, think immorality, think occult. Watch where Boaz lays down after he has eaten and after he is drunk. Uncover his feet so that he'll wake up when he gets cold and lie at his feet. He will tell you what to do. What a crazy plan. But God's grace is so much more. Look at verse 9. He said, who are you, when he wakes up? This is Boaz, the man of integrity. Who are you? And she said, by the way, once you give your name, all bets are off. There's no turning back. There's no shrinking back. Once you give your name, the plan is hatched. It's Ruth who's in this precarious situation. And she says twice, I'm your servant. I am Ruth, your servant. And then she says that strange phrase, which, by the way, we need to embrace. Spread your wings over your servant, for you are a redeemer. Once she identifies herself, there's no shrinking back. Why do we identify our values and celebrate them? Because it's all too easy for us to just play it safe. That's not what God's best is for us. Some of the excitement of following the Lord is when you discern this is where he's leading us, and then you go for it. Then you look back and say, oh my word, God, you did wonderful things. Not shrinking back, it means moving forward. Spread your wings over us. What in the world is this? What does this mean? Spread your wing over us. It sounds provocative, yes? It is. It's a marriage proposal. So, Ruth is actually going off of Naomi's script. You know why she's doing that? Not because her heart's beating fast and she wants a husband. She may want a husband. I'm assuming she does. But she knows that if she gets a husband, her mother-in-law will be set. It's beautiful. It's redemption. It's a young 20-year-old, I'm looking at these young people here, in a very precarious situation, honoring her mother-in-law. We know that this is a marriage proposal because you don't have this, we don't have this up here, but Ezekiel chapter 16:8, when I passed you, this is the Lord speaking, when I passed you by you again and saw you, behold, you were at an age for love. And listen, I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness. And I made my vow to you and entered into a covenant with you, declares the Lord God, and you became mine. It's a marriage proposal, but the language is could be translated covering the cloak, the corner of my garment over you, but it says under my wings. Why does it say that? Look at Ruth 2:12. Remember this? Naomi has sent her daughter out, and Ruth is absolutely blown away. And Boaz says to her in 2:12, may the Lord repay you for what you have done. A full reward be given by the Lord, the God of Israel. What does it say? Under whose wings you have come to take refuge. That's salvation. That's seeking shelter in the one, the only one, who holds it all together. Ruth wants to remind Boaz his prayer, his blessing over her. And he's saying, God may be using you to redeem Naomi by marrying me. And we all know the story turns out great, and we need to reflect on what redemption means. This could be a very surfacey message. This point, I'm going to develop this one, and then the next two points are short. So then you get to go outside and take your masks off. Okay? But if you hear this, it will bless you. So listen. The idea of redemption is that it's for a people who know God. And we're not just the ones who are saved and go to heaven. That is part of redemption, but that's not all of it. It's people who have more than a life insurance policy. They're people who are beginning to realize there's a bigger and better purpose for my life. It means that we are part of a family who takes care of each other. And a family who understands that belonging to the world means that, first of all, this world is not my home. Turn to your neighbor and say, this world is not my home. Look at Hebrews 11:13. We see this great hall of faith, great hall of fame, and they're people that have walked with God and represented him well. But listen to what it says. They all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were, what? Strangers and exiles on earth. We need to reflect how great our redemption is. And we need to understand that as much as we love our country, as much as we want to have a scrap of dirt somewhere to call home, and that's perfectly fine, we don't hold on so tightly because we are foreigners. We are aliens. We are just passing through. And the older I get, the more I realize just how fast that goes. When you're younger, man, it seems like an eternity. When you're older, you go, where has the time gone? Look at 1 Peter verse 2, or chapter 2, verse 10. Once you were not a people, now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. This is the message of Scripture from cover to cover. It's redemption. Now, we need to remember and reflect where we came from. And that's why we can celebrate. The first part of the message was read before was 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:26. For consider your calling. Remember when we did Romans 8? God's plan for us, he foreknew or foreloved us before the foundation of the world. He predestined us. He called us. He justified us. And he's going to glorify us. That's God's plan that doesn't get broken. Consider your calling, and it must be that we're super special, wonderful people. I think you are. But not in God's standard. He's making you that way. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth from a good family. Consider your calling. It's a divine invitation to respond to God, to embrace him. Yes, I admit I have failed. I have left you. So I ask your forgiveness. I embrace you in accepting you and believing in you and saying, yes, you come be the forgiver of my sins. I believe you died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead. And now I will follow you the rest of my life. That's reflecting backwards. Here's my sin. There's the middle. R, C. We're celebrating the fact that there is forgiveness in the cross, and we're moving ahead. Now I'm going to follow you. Be with you forever. So look at 26. Our calling. It's the invitation to follow, to be not just to follow Jesus, but to be adopted as part of his family. Being part of the family of God. Not many wise, not many powerful, not many of noble birth, from a famous family. Look at 27 and 28, it continues. Some of us can laugh at this because we see our faces in this passage. But God chose what was foolish to shame the wise. Have you noticed how he does that? People that D.L. Moody was one that didn't speak very clearly, and they'd make fun of him until the Spirit was speaking through him and they started feeling convicted and crying. The foolish things to shame the wise, the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the low and despised of the world, the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. That includes a Moabite woman trying to bless her mother-in-law, coming from her land. Your people will be my people, your God will be my God, and coming to Bethlehem to try and work something out for her mother-in-law. Chokes you up when you think about it, because it's looking backwards at who God is. The big question is, why would God ever choose us? Why did he choose the Israelites? You know what the answer to that is? Just because. That's the answer. Look at the 1 Corinthians passage. The Apostle Paul is reminding us that there are still those on the outside of our faith, and how we live does not make sense to them. You give how much of your income away? Yeah, but God always works it out. He like opens doors and stuff. My house wouldn't sell. Found one good house. Sold my lawnmower, my riding lawnmower. Because in New Jersey, the property's way too expensive. I'll never have a yard. Ever been to my house? Wish I hadn't sold it. That's how God works. Can't afford property here. I'll work it out, Jim. It just has to be a year. This house has to be a year empty. And then the family's going to be desperate to sell it to you. And you'll get it at a great price. Look back in the moment. Why won't my house sell? What sin is in my life? I'm repenting of everything, right? That's a good thing. But God is greater. But how we live to outsiders makes no sense. Look at verse 29 and 31. It's the whole point of today's message. It's redemption and the cross. It's the price paid for you and me. So what do we celebrate? So that no human being might boast in the presence of God. We don't say, isn't God lucky? He got me. Hear this right. He doesn't need you. But he chooses to use you. So that means Super Bowl team. Hey, okay, if I run a play, yeah, I'll work it out. I've got such excellent people that you're going to score a touchdown, right? That's how I feel about being on God's team. Because of him, because of God, verse 29 or 30 says, because of him, God, you are in Christ, who became the wisdom of God, the righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That means righteousness means that when God sees us, he sees Jesus. Sins forgiven. Sanctification. Process of making us more like Jesus, separate from the world, set apart for God. Redemption, there it is again, taken up from the garbage and refurbished. So that it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. Why are we raising our hands? Why are we celebrating? Because we're reflecting back on where we have been, and that's why every holiday I hope you have Pinscher in your brain. Because reflect backwards of where God has brought you from and how he has been faithful, how he has shown his chesed to you, then celebrate, remember the values, God's kindness, and then move forward and celebrate. And that brings us to the end. Verse 2 of Ruth. She is celebrating as she cannot understand why Boaz, the type of Christ, is being so unbelievably kind to her. Have you had that? When you think about the Lord, why are you being so unbelievably kind to me? We look backwards. You know how many ways I've failed the Lord? See, if you're new in the faith, you don't realize this. If you've walked for any time, I'm looking at my brother Nelson there. True, brother? The longer we go along, the more we realize just how sinful we are and what a miracle it is. Nelson's a godly man. Please don't misunderstand. How thoughts and attitudes are, how we treat each other, even brothers and sisters, wrongly. And we go, God help us. And he says, I thought you'd never ask. She fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? That's celebration. See, she is saying, why are you being so nice to me? It's because Boaz is representing Christ so well. As we reflect, redemption is about being a foreigner in the world like Naomi and God adopting us. And that is cause for great celebration. Unfortunately, when we had drive-in church, we didn't have pyrotechnics. Wouldn't that be cool? Celebration. We should celebrate. And that's the second point, just brushing these over almost, because the first point is most important. Our great high privilege is to blow people's minds with otherworldly kindness. Have you noticed that our world sorely needs kindness? Anybody see that? It is a fact. It's who we are. It's our identity. Here's who you are. Receive this. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen, what does it say? Race. Oh, the race issue. Guess what? I saw a video from General Counsel 2015, and it was so good. Talked about a guy, and he's giving a little talk, and he says, some people look at me and they say, I can't see color in Christ. There's no color in Christ. That is not true. You look at me, you can see I'm black. So don't say I don't have a color. The truth is, all colors are in Christ. We've got the key. That's why on the 19th, Pastor Nelson is going to be hosting the service, and Pastor Tim is going to be giving the word. Are you excited? I am. I like talking to him because I ask him questions about race, and we go back and forth because he's been kind of the guy I prayed with for 2 years almost. Chosen race. Oh, a royal priesthood. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're royalty. A holy nation. Now, God's holiness in us does not depend on us, but we're becoming more and more like him. A people for, listen to this, for God's own possession. We're going to look at the rest of the verse in a minute, but jump down to 10. Once you were not a people, now you're God's people. You're in his family. Once you had not received mercy, that means not getting what you deserve. Now you have received mercy. Look, we went through this exhaustively like 2 years, or last winter, I guess, winter of 2019. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. Our citizenship is where? In the United States? Sure. But our real citizenship is in heaven. For we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. That's the reason for celebration. We reflect that we are strangers in the land chosen by God. We look at what people have done in the past, and we celebrate that, what Christ has done for us. See, we celebrate that. We remember that we bring nothing into the world, that he's making us wise, and he's making us more worthy and look like his son. And lastly, what do? We advance. We remember where we are going and we don't shrink back. 2 Peter, once again, the verses I skipped, it says in verse 9, do you see that? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Is that rich? Once you were not a people, now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. And so do we do. What do? We boldly advance. We spread the good news from here to the ends of the earth, and we watch with marvel how people, as they embrace Christ, as they become children of God, as they turn from their sins and receive Christ, the lights come on. Living the good news by being kinder enemies that bug us, by representing Christ well. That's our mission. That's positive. I need to give you the negative part of this as well. So the positive thing is what we do. Yay, our great high privilege. Here's the negative. We live in a world that is filled with ways to fall and temptations. And each one of us leans in one particular way, and the enemy of our soul, and Madison Avenue, the marketing people, know it. Because of who we are and because of what we value, we don't get sucked into the sin that's around us. Verse 11, brothers, I urge you as sojourners, to live as strangers, sojourners and exiles, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. And so we reflect back on what's been done for us and who's represented Christ well. We celebrate it as we're pausing, and then we live it out in full dependence on the Spirit. Now, I got to say this carefully, because if you misunderstand, it's going to sound heretical. The world is not our friend. We know that. But we are friends of the entire world. Do you understand what I mean? We're the salt and light that is in the world. We're the ones that offer hope to all of those around us. We've received this from godly people. That's why we're here. And so our role is to be friends to those that are lost, not of the world, but in the world as salt and light. Our goal is to achieve our highest redemptive potential. Let me say that again. Our goal is to become and achieve our highest redemptive potential. I don't know what exactly God has for you, but I want you to think about this. This is my close. What is God leading you to do? How is he leading you to be like a Boaz, to protect, to provide, to encourage? You know what blows me away? The sound was too loud last week, right? I gave out letters and my cards to people in those houses particularly, and it was loud again this week, or somehow it happened that they heard it. So I went over there, and they said, well, you know, we don't mean to complain, but we have coffee outside, and it's just kind of loud. And it was, actually. Somehow, it was weird. It was loud there. So Betty ran out and got a Starbucks card. We brought it to them, the Murphys, and they're like, no, you don't have to do that. I'm sorry to complain. I got a message on Monday, and I pushed it. I'm like, okay, did I say something careless or whatever? I just can't believe you guys did that. Had we not had loud music, wouldn't have got to meet them and bless them. Went next door, grandmother being brought to the hospital. And look, please, I'm not some superstar, I promise you. Anybody knows me, right, Kate?
Oh, yeah.
We're not having a testimony service today, praise God. That's pretty sure it's against CDC regulations. No, we walked over there. Betty saw the ambulance, walked over there, saw Tony, prayed with him about his grandmother, came back. Round trip total, 10 to 15 minutes. They can't believe that we would go over and do that. My point is, it's so simple. But isn't, what do you think the voice was going inside of me saying? That's their private business. What, they probably don't want you there. Do you ever hear those voices? Oh, if you say something, they're not going to receive it. It might go badly. Okay, it might go badly. 1% of the time, I bet. Maybe 5%. But I'm telling you that this world is looking for people that will show them kindness, will show them grace, and will represent Christ well. But remember, 1 Corinthians 1:18 and 19, for the world, the cross is folly to those who are perishing. For those who believe and are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of discerning I will thwart. Is there an area, close your eyes and just think, what's God speaking to you? Are you one who's become harried in this time? Are you one who's got worry, fear? Are you one that is trying to hold on too tightly and try to figure things out yourself? People hear me say the saying all the time, we'll figure it out, we'll figure it out, figure it out. Lord, you figure things out. And so we open our hands and give you the things that we are carrying, and we choose not to worry. Lord, we look backwards, and Father, we're asking you to call to mind the ways you have been faithful in our lives. Lord, we are choosing to celebrate that faithfulness, like Ruth on her face, tears coming down her face, saying, why are you being so kind to me? Why are you showing me such chesed? I'm a foreigner. Don't you know what a failure I am? God says, yeah, I know. And that's the thing that wrecks us. We reflect on the fact that God knows every thought we've ever thought. He knows every word we've ever said. He knows every deed we've ever done. And he invites us to his presence, because the rebellion has been satisfied as Jesus became sin. So now, when we believe in him and follow him, we experience grace and mercy. So the area where we're shrinking back, we just make that declaration now. No more. I'm not listening to the wrong voice. I'm reflecting. I'm celebrating. And now I'm advancing.